Welcome, everyone, to a first in the history of the Shutdown Fullcast. That would be all of us being in the same room and moderated by a semi-professional producer with professional standards. That would be me, Spencer Hall, of Every Day Should Be Saturday and SB Nation. Joining me across this pool table in beautiful Dallas, Texas, Jason Kirk.
Texas.
Oh, that was pretty good.
Texas.
We've come up with as many distorted and tortured pronunciations of the word Texas as possible. None exceeded by reality, of course. We can't quite do it right. That includes Ryan Nanny sitting across from me here.
Texas.
That's terrible.
Yeah. Texas.
It's deplorable.
Yeah.
You're all really terrible at this.
You gave us microphones.
Get along now.
Hold on. Can I try Andrew Luck, Texas?
Go ahead. Yes, this is Andrew Luck in a Texas accent.
I'm excited to be here in Texas.
Back home is the great state of Texas. Of course, right now I'm from Texas. I was an Elite 11 quarterback.
I like driving. I like riding horses. I wear my hat.
What's your favorite horse armor in Dungeons & Dragons?
I think leather.
I prefer the amethyst. It is impermeable against fire.
I think that's too showy.
There's not a... You don't lose any points for being showy.
I'm not about relying on my armor.
Well, I feel that as far
you can't
as
play defensively.
Goals, that is important to have a showy horse because it helps you get more to your character.
That's true. I do play for the Colts.
When I and Jim Irsay are playing Dungeons & Dragons, we don't really dispute you as the
showy horse. Please. I'm going to interrupt you. Andrew Luck would not play Dungeons & Dragons. He'd be more of a Shadowrun man. He'd be a cyborg future with dragons.
I don't know what that is, but I'm intrigued.
Remember, this is the week that Andrew Luck actually did say that he had a book on concrete that was fascinating. Like,
Andrew
he was trying
Luck,
to show his teammates
Andrew
that.
Luck plays SimCity the way you're supposed to.
I'm very excited about these water pipes.
Andrew Luck is actually the guy on YouTube who hacked, like, SimCity to figure out the maximum possible number of people.
I did a speed run on SimCity. Check this shit out.
I got 65 billion people in 10 pixels.
Yeah.
I got 65 billion people.
In that bitch.
I'm worried about their living conditions, but they seem pretty happy.
Stadiums.
Do you want the stadium to be publicly funded?
Yes.
Hell yes.
Yes.
It gives the people a connection to the team.
I like to have one dark arcology in there so they have some adversity to overcome.
He went dark arcology. And that would be the Jacksonville Jaguars.
The darkest arcology.
The dark arcology of the AFC South.
By the way, we just had a core breach in containment and toxic, like the toxicity level of this podcast. You went Jacksonville core breach,
yeah,
in like 5 minutes.
Come at
from the
me,
start.
Chaps.
Actually, we've talked the NFL for like 4 minutes now. Technically.
Oh, well, we have to stop that.
We've got a long off season ahead of us.
Thus far, by the way, my most outstanding experience in Texas has been going to a gas station that had everything known to man.
Everything.
Within the scope of the gas station. I've been to a Buc-ee's before, and a Buc-ee's has this jerky sommelier who will come up to you at the...
I don't know what the hell that word means.
It's a jerky cicerone, sir.
Your jerky wrangler.
Is that like a pommel horse?
In Texas, that's
yes,
a jerky wrangler. Yeah, it's like a pommel horse.
It's the uneven bars of jerky.
All you right. do. You enter the Buc-ee's by vaulting into it, and on dismount, if you're above a 4.0 or better...
Free jerky!
This state believes in competition and performance, and they reward it with salted meat. But
we're going to run 83 minutes this season.
You're damn right. I'm just telling Ty to give us a warning at the 40-minute mark. 40 minutes. Just
which
let us know.
Which we all ignore.
Yeah, the 40-minute warning.
All right, halfway there.
I didn't even see that shit.
We're really a cricket podcast, if you want to get down to it, in terms of how things happen.
Your mic might stretch outside.
Yeah, I'll be right
that's
back.
That's true. Jason Kirk needs to go outside and have dogs howl at him.
I'll be on the roof.
But you know you're in Dallas, by the way, when you go by an apartment complex and it's 30 degrees and there's a pit bull out in the porch that somebody left out there who's looking at you like, what are you doing out here?
This is my street.
You a cop?
Are you police? Never trust police. Only your fist will save you.
Hey, partner, you holding?
Yeah, you holding? Huh? Are you up, bae? Come on. But we went to Fuel City Tacos, if you didn't see it. I did a really good Elton John imitation for most of the video and sang some Waylon Jennings. But this is a gas station where they have the following. They have Longhorns in the back.
And a camel.
And a camel. And a zebra. okay, who I'm told is totally happy living in a spot by the levee and the overpass in Dallas. This is a place that has a brew through, so you can get your beer. It's a place that has a large plastic velociraptor, like a good 8 foot tall plastic velociraptor, and a Mexican dude named Raul who shows up with a karaoke cart. So, and just dances. He just dances and sings to this parking lot full of people pumping gas.
Is there a charge for others to use the karaoke cart?
None.
Wow.
Zero. You can tip Raul, but it is free karaoke.
Is there a state tax?
There is no state tax on karaoke.
No, sir.
Yeah, I know. I mean, God bless Texas. No state tax on karaoke. Unlike you, California.
Home of the Rose Bowl.
Home of the Rose Bowl. You take that, Jim Delaney. And in addition to all that, had the sort of like hot corn dish. I forget the name of it.
Elote.
Correct. Yeah, yeah, they had elote and they had tacos. So for $1.50, you could just buy a beautiful pocket of freedom, known as the Picadilla Taco there. That has been my most Texas experience thus far. What say you, Jason?
I saw a billboard for truck wreck lawyers. Plural. Indicating that not only are there so many truck wrecks in the great state of Texas that you need a lawyer who specializes only in
trucks,
wreck law.
Trucks now, not cars.
No trucks,
not
yeah.
Vans.
He needs to have a partner who's familiar with the, you know, the bed statute of 1978, mm-hmm. of the cab,
including a waterbed
of,
yeah.
of 2012.
Every cab had to have a waterbed.
Which was controversial.
70s were a sexy decade.
You know, of the,
it was
of,
Urban Cowboy.
Of the F-150 ban. Which was, you know, that resulted in the war of
trailer hitch law alone. Voluminous in
God,
the state.
God, it's like a whole year, isn't it?
Yeah. Have you seen, by the way, this is a Louisiana-Texas thing that they have the truck law, and the ads are hilarious because they're like, have you been run off the road? Not by a truck driver, but by a huge truck. And they show this, like, giant 18-wheeler barreling down on somebody.
Like it's a Stephen King movie.
Like they're sharks roaming. The highways of our nation.
Has a truck possessed by the devil himself run you off the road?
What, has somebody, a Sooners fan
collect
in a truck.
What is due you?
And somebody in Louisiana, they all probably have an Ole Miss sticker on the front, right? Like,
yeah.
Go Rams.
has a delightful dandy in a semi truck run you off the road?
But we talked about Jason and I saw this sign together. We talked about that you have to have. Do two at least truck lawyers
just to handle the load
because you can't handle the pressure of being the truck lawyer. I mean, what if your daughter has middle school graduation? You want to go to that?
Yeah.
You need backup.
It's like Big Boy said, a junkie stay a junkie 365. That's how truck wreck law is in the state of Texas. It's Christmas Day? Nah, bruh. You're going to go work a truck wreck case.
I'm a husband by choice and a truck wreck lawyer by birth.
By the
this
grace of God.
This baby's about to drop. But Leroy, your truck lawyer client needs you.
Get the hell on. Go lawyer some truck wrecks. Which one do you even start with?
This plague in Texas is one of the more endearing things. Ryan, what have you seen that has endeared you to this magnificent? I like to call Texas like America Plus.
Right.
This is America Plus.
Right. Like, yeah, it's America.
It's like when they
director's edition.
It's like in the late 90s when they were like, "Hey, you like Coke? What if it had more? What if we added caffeine pills?
Yeah. What if Moon Rock? What right? if we layered Coke and heroin?
Yeah. My answer is barbecue.
Yeah.
We got to go to the Pecan Lodge because of Dan Rubenstein and his fine show Easy Call. But not just barbecue. So we showed up while they were in peak lunchtime service. We walked right in the front door past the line that was going out the onto the sidewalk.
Mm-hmm. In the cold.
And nobody said a damn thing.
You're right.
And in New York City, I would have had a bottle thrown at my neck. I would have whipped that dude's ass. But it would have happened. And everybody was just nice and happy to give us a lot of brisket.
Can I posit why you did not have a bottle thrown at your neck or why no ass whipping was involved?
Because I look like I'll fucking wreck a motherfucker.
Well, there's that.
There's one that. Theory. That's a popular theory.
Never mind
too.
That we're all at least 10 pounds overweight because it's the end of the season.
No, see, I'm just going with wreck a motherfucker as my 2015 resolution.
Because I went to a gun range.
Yeah.
And in Texas, the most polite place in the world is not a church. It's not a hospital. It's not some grandmother's house. It's a gun range. I have never been to a place where people are nicer to each other than a Texan gun range. And it's real easy to figure out why.
They're all strapped. Like, the 5'1" girl behind the counter has one on her ankle and one in the cleft of her ass.
It's like the end of War Games.
Well, I'll tell you right now, there's a thing about, you know, gun culture that they say that you never feel safer than you when you're around a bunch of responsible gun owners who have guns and all. And you can sort of talk yourself into that. You know, if you go to a gun show or a gun range in Texas or whatever, you get this sort of, well, if anything jumps off, I'll just duck. These guys will take care of it.
Yeah, and everybody has to be extremely nice because...
Yeah, because you don't know what you're up against.
You don't want to be the one who is the thing that jumps off.
There. Manners are pretty mandatory when everyone has large caliber weapons. All of them. The state itself is the host to the official title. Can we reel off the whole thing at once, Jason Kirk?
It is the college football playoff champion, national championship presented by sponsor. I ain't going to say that shit.
North Texas.
Pay me a goddamn dollar.
North Texas edition.
It's not in Dallas. It's not in Dallas. If you say this game is in Dallas, you will get well actually so hard by all of Dallas-Fort Worth.
And if you say
it's not in Dallas, it's in Arlington.
It's in a very important suburb with a big alien spaceship next to the Walmart.
Yeah,
it's terrifying.
It is, because this is a number of satellite communities that all get very particular and very bent when you say that one particular bit of flat, ice-caked landscape looks different than another.
Are we going to have to go through this when the Braves host the Super Bowl? Bear with me. When the Braves host the Super Bowl in 2025 and people say, oh, the Super Bowl is in Atlanta, are people in Cobb County going to say, excuse me, it's not in Atlanta? Is this normal, or is this just Texas behavior?
No, this is what people do.
My understanding of Georgia's geography is by that point, you will have twice as many counties at that point anyway.
Well, that's probably right.
So the stadium will straddle three different counties.
Yeah, we'll even get particular. We'll be like, what section are you sitting in? 315? Well, that's not Atlanta.
Oh, that's
not Atlanta
that's anymore. Chubb County.
Yeah, that's Sub-Cobb
that's
County. That's Proto-Chubb County. That's over there in Big Boss Man land.
Oh, yeah. It'll be the ITP folks will be like, Section 302. That's cool. That's real cool right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can be there and not be racist. Everybody else in the stadium is racist.
Oh, that's Slim Cut of Calhoun County.
Yeah, let's be honest. If any franchise in professional sports could have racist and non-racist seating and have demand for
and
the racist
like
seating.
Probably have signage
in the racist seating, it would probably be the Atlanta Braves.
Could probably have like different music playing.
This is family. Safe music. It's not that urban music
here.
This here
section's for Hawks fans.
Bring them out.
Go Hawks, by the way.
Do you see T.I. sitting in section 302, row 57Z?
In a throne?
Because they got to get him in the stadium somehow. Give him a throne.
But that is the full grandiose name plus sponsor of this championship game being held out at Jerry Jones' enormous single testicle buried deep in the ground in I believe Arlington, Texas.
Arlington, Texas.
Across from Walmart. No lie. The championship game is being played across from Walmart.
You can at this exact moment, actually, whenever you're listening, if it's 3 a.m., you can go buy a rifle, walk it across the street, and stand at the Dallas Cowboys Stadium
and
at this exact moment.
Skip Bayless to fight you.
He won't show up.
He won't show up.
Like a bitch.
With or without rifle.
We know you're listening, Skip.
He didn't show up. 3 o'clock, Walmart parking lot. Your tiny shrimp-shaped ass is there, and I couldn't sit on you.
It'll hurt forever, Skip, and that's your fault.
I know. You'll take that burn. You're going to deal with that burn, okay? You'll check into the burn ward, because that's how burnt you are for not showing up at the Walmart. Eat it, Skip Bayless, you
they
hopeless
have
bitch.
They good deals. Great buys. Prices are falling every day. They have greeters, Skip.
Half-off ass whippings.
Yeah. So
that's a price shop. Can't beat.
We're going to put those local ass whippings out of business.
You find ass whipping on the internet for less?
Those mom-and-pop ass
whippings. Those mom-and-pop ass whippings are done.
Chance.
Walmart's moving in.
I'll match that price on ass whipping.
Are they trying to unionize ass whippings? No.
That's good. We're going to get these made in China, bring them over, make 400% profit on it.
It's full of lead.
We can't even keep the shelves stocked full
you
of ass
whippings. You oxycontin-addicted cretins won't even notice.
We've got rifles.
Yeah, we
and
got
frozen pizzas.
Walmart, we got
rifles and frozen
beer. And ICs.
Texas. Great camp Texas. Chairs, ICs, rifles.
Can you imagine tailgates at like a Cowboys game? It's like Eagles fan talking shit. Oh, well, I'm going to go buy a fucking rifle.
Here you go, Skip Bayless. Here's an icy and an ass whooping for that ass. It's Diet Cherry, you bitch.
It solves its own problem. I just gave you a circular argument.
Do you think Walmart sells its own Skip Bayless? Like a Walmart brand,
like a
Skip Bayless?
Walmart brand?
Clay Travis?
Like an...
I love you, Clay.
I don't.
Spencer publicity is good publicity.
Spencer does love you, Clay.
He's more of a Bass Pro Shop, Skip Bayless.
To be fair.
We'll be charitable, right?
Well, actually, to be fair.
So how we got here is of some import because it involves embarrassing two programs that we normally do nothing but praise and say good things about. And that would be the program we enjoy talking about most. We enjoy more than anything else talking about the Knowles.
Talking about the Knowles.
The Knowles.
Talking about them Knowles. That's what we enjoy talking about that program. That little upstart program that came from nothing in the 70s to beat Nebraska at home, to win multiple national championships, to dominate the state of Florida.
Yeah.
It's just hard to find other people who want to talk about the Knowles.
Is it? It is.
You know, like, you'll put something up on SB Nation that's not about Florida State at all, and you just hope maybe somebody will amble on and say, hey, what's this got to do with Jameis Winston?
Talk about it, but it never happens. The very first thing we put up about 2015 was a super early top 10 featuring three people in this room. The very first comment is about the Knowles.
About the Knowles.
Talking about the Knowles.
Disrespecting them.
And I had to say thank you to that commenter because we hadn't been talking about the Knowles in a while.
So we
all showed up for the Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
Okay, which is where, admittedly, every other national title game should be. Texas needs one. Gonna give it to, you know, Super America, America Plus. But the Rose Bowl, I thought the Knowles had this just sewn up. I was ready to see them just advance and prove me right by winning by a field goal, which is what the Knowles have done all year long.
Right.
And then disaster struck in the third quarter.
Boy, did it. Boy, did it. I know y'all are picturing the vine right now. Just go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead and go look at the vine.
It's Jameis Winston.
Your computer
can handle
that.
Keep on falling in and out.
No, keep going.
No, that's it.
No, that's great.
maybe it was a memed vine. Maybe they added Jim Ross audio. Maybe they added NBA stuff. You know, maybe it was just straight up. Maybe it was just pure.
Yeah. Or you could get the one I enjoyed most, which is, of course, Yakety Sax.
Yeah.
The Benny Hill theme played as Jameis Winston scrambles out from a tackle, spins, and then spins miraculously backwards with the ball and throws it like a good 7 yards behind him.
Just pitching it to Jesus.
Yeah, just pitching it to...
Ain't Jameis' fault Jesus can't hold on to the ball?
Tell him.
Yeah, he was doing what he did. He just gave in to faith. Okay.
He laid his yes on the table.
He did. He did. He put his yes on the table. He said amen and put the ball 7 yards behind him in the hands of an Oregon defender who barreled his fat ass down the field for a touchdown.
So FSU Twitter, take it out on Joel Osteen.
Yeah, you could. That's what I encourage you to do, FSU Twitter. Take it out on Joel Osteen.
Oh,
he made that fumble happen.
Let's start this fight right
so,
now.
So, I don't know. I mean, I don't want to speak too badly about this. You know, how much longer can I keep this facade before just admitting what
Dive in.
What I did during
that. Get sexy
that.
With it.
I did. I really did put on the entire album, Anita Baker, Rapture. The minute the third quarter started, just muted the broadcast. Put on Sweet
Love. That's what the broadcast was.
Oh, it was
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I was a redundancy, as usual.
When Curb Street was dogging out FSU players for doing as the Rose Bowl instructed them to do and getting the fuck off the field so the winning team could celebrate, all you heard was
So you're telling me Jameis Winston broke the rules again?
Yes, he did.
Damn.
In the name of sportsmanship, asshole.
We did get to see Jimbo Fisher and his angry face, his angry lunch lady face, right?
Like,
if you don't calm the fuck down, Jameis, I'm going to put you on the bench.
It's calm the fuck down and I'll put you on the bench they're not congruous, right?
No. I've seen this face before, by the way, and it's when my friends and I in middle school were throwing beef stroganoff across the cafeteria and the lunch lady came out like, "Hey!"
Well, if here's the thing, if Jameis was from anywhere but Alabama and someone had said that to him in exactly the same way, I don't know if it would quite connect. But Jimbo,
right.
Man, that's a good coach for Southern kids.
I guess. It's like if your mom said, if you kids don't quiet the fuck down, I will not buy you Kirby's Adventure. It's like, all right.
I'm quieting the fuck down. If you don't quiet the fuck down, you're going to the bench.
Classic Kirby bias.
Classic. By the way, how many points did they end up? How many points did they end up losing that game by?
39.
30. Wow.
30. That's the same. That's the same reaction Urban Meyer had later that night.
Is this where we can play New York Knicks or Florida State Seminoles? Noel's just tanking for that draft pick.
Now, the moment for me was when we got to see Seminole blocking Seminole, which there was a moment. There was a moment. It was actually during an FSU touchdown, which they only got, I believe, two of those. So we ought to treasure both of them. But there was a moment where FSU's left tackle and FSU's H-back, which was Nick O'Leary on this play, they collided, and Nick O'Leary got laid the fuck out. And if you'll recall, a year before, Gator blocking Gator was the big moment of the internet for the entire season. So to see it happen to FSU in a game in which they got destroyed, that just made internet me indescribably happy. You're Florida fans root against FSU. I don't really have a dog in the fight, but seeing FSU really get like an ocean of its own medicine, that filled my soul.
Yeah.
It was a magnificence because that was just a minor detail.
Yeah, that was nothing.
That's the greatest part. Like, it was such a landslide of atrocity that was just, oh, that happened. Yeah, that and then the next thing.
Your house burned down, and also your refrigerator was out of warranty.
Your house burned down, but your cat did this really funny thing on the way out.
Jameis Winston,
your cat,
my cat
also escaped.
Yeah, your cat also escaped.
Your cat's alive.
Yeah,
and then was Jumbo.
Yeah, and then was hit by a tractor trailer.
And then declared for the NFL.
Name the Oregon Ducks. The other game that got us here would be Alabama Ohio State, which I don't know whether we were more shocked by Florida State losing as badly as they did, and it didn't really mean quite as much. But it's more stunning for Alabama to lose like that.
Yeah. Like, they had only lost, what, like five games under Nick Saban that they were leading at halftime?
Yeah.
It's some absurd number.
It may be lower.
Yeah.
I think the number was two, and they were both to Auburn.
Okay.
That won't burn.
Okay. One was the Cam Newton game, and one was the kick six game. And then old Urban joined the club.
But no, they made him quit, Jason.
Yeah. They made Urban's ass quit. Quit playing Bama because he beat him. Then, you know, and you can only beat Bama for 60 minutes.
That is how the end of a game works, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, he couldn't continue beating Bama, so he had to quit.
I win.
Great job, Bama. You made Urban's ass quit. He got tired of beating you.
No. You see, you've read this the whole entire wrong way, okay? Saban both giveth and taketh, okay? He put Urban down. He put him down into the dirt.
And then
okay?
rose him back up.
And then, like Jesus, just put his healing hand on him and brought him back to life.
Was
just
it
brought
3 years later?
Yeah, three years later.
Like I think it's fair to say Urban Meyer is
in Alabama,
is a Nick Saban product.
3 days.
He just gray-shirted
a day,
him there.
To the Lord, Saban is as 3 years.
Need be to us via arbitrary math.
Right.
So Urban Meyer got gray-shirted by Nick Saban.
That's correct. You go somewhere else. You just sit out a year or two.
And then I'm going to make you a winner when you're ready.
Wow. So, in Saban math, so ESPN is a JUCO.
That's right. It's like Blinn College, okay? Low admission standards.
Somebody's going to take you, Mark May, one day.
One day, you'll get off that roster. Get off that
Mark
bench.
Mark May leads Pitt to a 66-3 loss to Bama.
You took Pitt to the Sun Bowl where they lost 3-2.
Worth it.
Worth it. It was so good.
They did an incredible job. Pitt's offensive line was extremely prepared for Oregon State on that day.
Yeah, I was more stunned in that game, by the way, by the number of plays Cardale Jones made, because Cardale Jones played like somebody who didn't have many starts, wasn't really aware that he could be harmed by human hands, and moved forward, in the words of one commenter, as a runaway grocery cart would move down the field.
Yeah, I would describe his athletic ability as something like a dump truck with, like, an artillery launcher on the back, which, like, you know, here in the state of Texas, you might find someone who would just throw away an artillery battery because they got a better one for Christmas.
I think I saw that at Fuel City.
Yeah, you just drive past it all day long.
They're recyclable.
Yeah, they're made of aluminum. I guess.
Put it on Craigslist.
Yeah, come on.
So you just mount one of those, and then, you know, he's unsackable. Alabama should have had him for safeties twice, and he's impossible to tackle. He just sort of goes down when he's sleepy.
I think the other thing that infuriated Alabama fans watching that game, besides losing, right?
Because they did lose.
They lost. They lost
to a team from the north of the Mason-Dixon line.
There were so many moments in that game where you were like, oh, this is the part where Alabama, the ball bounces in their favor and they take control.
Yeah.
And it's like, nope, that didn't happen.
No, and
nope.
Instead they lost.
Instead they lost.
Yeah, they never quite did that turn that Alabama teams tend to do, right? Like,
it was like watching a failed magic trick, an elaborate one. And the woman is, oh, God.
And this ball flying down the field to Amari Cooper will be...
like some old, like,
it's on the ground.
Oh, God, it's a dead dove.
It's on the ground
like
again.
Some failed telethon magic thing where they're like, let's just go over here to Rita Coolidge singing. We'll come back to the amazing Kreskin.
It's still cooking.
Yeah, yeah.
We're gonna Kiffin cook.
We're going to come back to him.
Technical difficulties.
And the woman in the box is dead. Yeah, that's... that and the other thing in the game that absolutely... absolutely shot me. The woman in the box is always dead.
That's the joke. Secret.
Yeah,
people don't get that about magic. So many women die via saw.
My favorite point in the game, by the way, was when Ohio State with a lead is trying to run out the clock with about a minute and a half left. And Urban Meyer is so possessed with hatred at that point that he decides to throw deep.
Who's quitting now?
Who made you quit?
The first question he got in his...
you eat the pizza this time, Nick.
In his title game presser was, you know, why'd you do that? And he said, yeah, that was my call. Just thought we could, you know... And then it didn't work, so we knew we had to run out the clock. But yeah, he was... going for the damn throat. Of course, Alabama lost anyway, so that's funny.
Who is their offensive coordinator this year?
Alabama?
Yeah.
Did they have one?
They did. They did. They had one.
I know I saw a lot of photos of a guy, of Nick Saban's friend that he kept being mad at.
It's Cortana on a Windows phone.
No, no, it is not. Nick Saban is not Master Chief. He does not meet. He does not meet the height requirement.
The armor. They have to put eye holes in the chest.
Eye holes in the chest. Or stilts.
All he can do is kick because he can't reach the guns.
Have you ever wanted to play Halo 2 feet lower in perspective?
It's talk just, about hey, it's low.
It's just like playing as Oddjob in GoldenEye.
I fucking hate when people sick saving
the world. David, how does he always find the body armor first?
Are you saying he's more toe jam than Earl? I was. Yeah.
Yeah, and Alabama lost is the thing.
To answer your original question, that would be Lane Kiffin, offensive coordinator for these Alabama Crimson Tide.
I forgot about that for about 10 games, and then you remembered in the fourth quarter of the Sugar Bowl.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
Because remember, they were pitiful on the road. Like, road-wise... they were not a good offense.
Call
away
them
from
Hawks.
Yeah, they were.
They were good at home, and they were quite a bit less good on the road. And you know, the Sugar Bowl is, to be fair, it's not Tuscaloosa.
How many carries? How many carries did Human Tractor El Tractorcito?
Tractorcito.
Yeah. How many carries did El Tractorcito get in the title game? Ryan Nanny.
Less than 20.
Bold choice. Jason, how many carries did he get?
I believe it was 17.
God.
17. Now, I believe I have the answer in my head.
13?
I am
13. Is it really 13?
We're phoning a friend. Dan Rubenstein is telling us it's 13.
But yes.
God, they're even more prepared for our podcast than we are.
The goddamn solid verbal.
Fuck you, solid verbal. Our parents love us too.
These guys are really good at this shit, man.
What, man? You ain't got this flow.
Nah, I know this one. How many more yards per attempt did Derrick Henry average on the ground than Blake Sims through the air?
Ooh.
The answer is a full yard-ish.
A full yard.
I didn't actually know that.
Derrick Henry did have 13 carries since Dan of the professional podcast.
Gah.
The man's podcast. The corporate podcast.
I would say it's a podcast for all genders and gender identifications.
I think he's pitting them as the Vince McMahon podcast where the Stone Cold.
We are. Yeah, that's it. Because remember, Vince wins because he can fire you.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Yes, he had 13 carries for 95. Just 13 carries. Okay. Blake Sims had 10. And by the way, Derrick Henry averaged 7.3 yards on
and
that carry.
What was
carry.
The yards
okay.
per throw?
The yards per throw for Blake Sims would be 6.6.
Yeah, I came pretty close.
So they threw the ball 36 times
and ran
the ball 34 times, which in Alabama is blasphemy.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. It against the law. against rules
of... I think they called more pass plays than that because he got sacked like 4 or 5 times.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's our point. Let's see how long the Lane Kiffin experiment lasts into next season.
Oh, he's holding on for that Vanderbilt job. Come on, open up Vanderbilt
job. I'm just excited about the gifts. You thought the Saban Kiffin gifts were good this year? Just, my God, wait till next year. Saban's going to be on his ass.
I told Holly Anderson we should put the audio clip from Home Alone of Uncle Frank saying, "Look what you did, you little jerk," in all of those clips.
Oh, yeah, you know, Saban's not sleeping this season. Like, that's not...
not next to Fuller.
That's off the table.
No, no.
After all that Pepsi.
The thing I would like to do now is I would like to go ahead and address our Twitter questions, which are great. We've had a fairly good one. Here, I'm going to open with mine. Because it addresses my favorite event of bowl season thus far. Even better than the 39-point win over the Florida State Seminoles by the Oregon Ducks. Go Ducks! Is this question from Ryan Carroll, who goes by the bulky, I'll admit this is an awkward Twitter handle, at CM Silver Atlas, all caps. Now that Memphis and BYU have fought each other, next two programs you'd like to see fight each other. My answer, after 20 seconds of research, would be watching the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, who play Clemson next year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you have two kind of churchy schools, admittedly churchy in very different ways.
Very different ways.
Yeah. And from very different parts of the country, fighting each other.
Catholics versus Baptists.
What sets off that fight?
Oh, easy. This is when Malik Zaire, because remember, Brian Kelly's offensive system includes no hot reads. None. So if the quarterback's in trouble, he just has to, quote, make it work, unquote. He can't throw a slant so his running back gets killed, right?
What an awesome boss.
And now is yeah. Brent Venables good against that sort of thing?
Yeah. No. Sort of.
Maybe. I would say yes.
Yeah, you think? Okay.
Well, if you're looking for things to stir up a fight, one would be quarterback getting hit.
Okay.
And I think that can happen.
Yeah, and Brent Venables is definitely into the court. So Malik Zaire goes close to the sidelines. He gets, like, blindsided by three dudes, okay? Remember, it's at Clemson, so the refs won't call anything.
Shit.
They're not going to call a single thing. Malik Zaire gets thrown, like, into the stands, basically,
yeah,
without a flag.
Yeah, like NFL blitz.
Yeah, they're going to boot him into the stands, and then Dabo's going to get in the fight. That's what this all adds up to.
Yeah, that's the best part is Dabo runs in.
Yeah, oh, yeah, he's sprinting.
Now's my time.
Yeah, so that's I want to see Notre Dame fight Clemson, particularly because I'm pretty sure a fan or two is going to get involved.
Oh, 1,000.
Yeah, Jason, your answer.
Well, I do appreciate that, you know, the question starts with Memphis BYU, which happened in the Miami Beach Bowl, because that would probably be the unanimous number one that we'd like to see, and we got to see in real life because the Lord provides. Mine is LSU travels to Syracuse next year.
What?
That's happening in real life.
Why?
LSU
gotta get
agreed.
Them miles, son. You want to bump up from silver to gold?
LSU
hit
is
the road.
Going to Syracuse because Les Miles is an adventurous fellow. He has yet to visit upstate New York.
Do you think he thought it was ancient Syracuse?
Yeah, oh no, he thought it was ancient Syracuse.
Could be.
He might have thought it was like Sarah's Case, an exotic town.
I'm going to fight the Oracle.
It might have just been presented to him as like, you know, maybe Syracuse, you know, with an excellent journalism school, maybe they just figured out how to put it in Les's terms. You know, we can offer you a quality competition. He just saw those two words and said, yes, I appreciate
it's
quality competition.
It's the carrier dome, and we run the ball a lot, and that's carrying, so we're
I've
ready.
Always wanted to play a color.
Then I own that color. It's like Mega Man.
No, I mean, orange, it's challenging. It's a color with chest.
It's a bright color. It's a color that's hard to ignore. It pairs well with green. You put it on a plate full of grass. It sounds delicious.
The sun's orange, so it's like I'm calling out the sun.
You know, I always
appreciate
the stories of the pirates of old because they ate lots of citrus foods, which helped to ward the body of the
I'm taking
diseases
my team,
of yore.
I'm taking my team to
You're
Uptown.
You're Veering Cosby now.
I'm taking my team to Uptown New York to avoid scurvy. That's
yeah, that's the
that's
goal.
Probably actually well, the most plausible.
Well, I mean, when you're by the Gulf of Mexico, you have to be aware of the things that the afflictions that plague pirates.
So oh, I just realized I'm going to go to that game now. Gosh, yeah, no, I'm so stupid.
Yeah, too bad. You're just going to that.
So stupid.
Going to that game, asshole.
Sorry,
enjoy
Caitlin.
It.
You're going to Syracuse in September.
Woo! It's the summer town of upstate New York.
It's a scorching 50 degrees.
Yeah. So, Ryan, your answer on teams you would like to see fight.
Kansas State, Baylor. Kansas State obviously had an interesting end to their loss against UCLA in their bowl game. Baylor, I think Art Briles will still be so incensed by what happened this playoff season that it will boil over somewhere unnecessarily. Maybe it's at home. Maybe it's in public. Maybe it's just while he's sleeping. But I think, I hope it will be against...
Can I remind you, Sean Oakman will be a part of
this. Sean Oakman will be a part of this.
Oh, the memes.
And every time you get that question about, like, oh, would you rather fight, like, 100 chickens or 100...
One Sean Oakman.
Right, right. This is
bring the chickens.
We're going to find out, yeah.
Sean, I want
back
you
up
to
the chicken truck.
I want Sean. I want you to go out 100 there.
100 chicken-sized horses or one Sean Oakman.
100 chicken-sized Sean Oakman.
I want you to go out there and I want you to punch Bill Snyder in the dick. Just do it.
Could he even reach Bill Snyder's dick?
I want you to wheel up and you just punch that old dusty dick.
Sean
like,
Oakman
right
had to like lay down to reach Bill Snyder's dick.
Coach, I tried. He just vanished into the mist.
He just turns into bats.
The ultimate battle.
Vampire.
Man, the Big 12 is goth as fuck.
Kansas State does play a lot of night games.
Renamed Vampire Family Stadium.
Or he's just like that guy in Hellboy. You just punch him, sand comes out, and he rewinds himself. Yeah. Like
Dracula's Castle is basically Dracula Family Stadium.
Wolfenstein 8, starring Bill Snyder.
Versus Sean Oakman.
Versus Sean Oakman. You go out there and you punch
a college student.
Dick. You saw what he did. I didn't approve of it, so I punched him in the dick. I knocked the head right off that toadstool.
Sure, he's old, but so is the state of Texas.
Your question, Jason.
Oh, this comes to us from Patrick Bozeman at Twitter.com. What is the college football equivalent of the freemium app Game of War, which I assume is the one with Kate Upton? The shitty little browser game, the little SimCity war game where you get to
right.
unlock dwarves and all that
right.
shit that they paid Kate Upton a lot of money, even though there's no way she's possibly in the game. If it's not that game, then great.
Apologies.
Sorry to slander
apologies,
you
game
by
of war.
Associating you with a famous, beautiful woman. I have no idea what this question means, so I'm going to open it up to the floor.
So I think what this question means is, this is which... What college football team lures you in with, like, hey, it's free and fun, and then slowly saps all your money out of you?
Florida.
In that case, I think Florida. It's the Florida Gators.
Don't you want to upgrade your tickets?
Well, is this one then Notre Dame? Because how many coaches are
no,
they playing now,
no.
Ty?
Notre Dame never pitches itself as, hey, it's free. Anybody can do
no,
it.
No, no, no. You know what's actually more than Michigan. Michigan under
Michigan,
Dave Brandon
Michigan
for the past.
Last year,
I mean, they just fired the guy
Michigan.
Who did this, but
you
Michigan is totally
for
the
a dollar.
It's gonna be free.
If
and
they
then
had
like,
kept him around, he would have
way,
made
man,
Michigan
we
into
we
an app.
We gotta pay Jim Harbaugh now, so the price of the brick's gone up.
Exactly. Yeah. The brick dawn gone sky high.
You can also make a case for UCLA being this freemium app because everybody will try it for a couple weeks, and then you're like, nah, I'm just deleting
yeah,
that off my
I'm
phone.
Just deleting that shit.
It wasn't that fun. It was buggy as hell.
And the notifications every week.
Oh,
man.
Every notification. Oh, Jim Moore, let me sleep.
It's a good one. Ryan, your question.
This question comes from Danny Will, at Danny Will says. His question, which SB Nation employee in Texas would last the longest on a mechanical bull?
Okay, now this is a bit of an obscure answer, but I have an instant one. Because he's in the next room. And we have an SB Nation employee named Robbie Langvin, who works on our video side. He's built like a ferret. He's wiry.
Has very little regard for his body.
He can drink like 500 beers
a day. He's so mad because he can't talk right now.
He can't talk because he's on this podcast. Yeah, that's Robbie. And Robbie, I think, would last longest on a bull because he's built like a bull rider. He's the one who's actually built like a bull rider. He's wiry. He has the least potential energy, right, to come off of the bull. Okay, the rest of us are bigger, especially at the end of the season.
Yeah.
Right? We're probably at least 10 to 15 pounds over fighting weight, all of us. I think Robbie is probably the person who stays on the bull longest. I also credit his moron strength.
I would go with who's not here right now, but was our video producer, Adam Sigliano. Adam has a 2-3-year-old
son. Do you want me to ride the fucking bull?
Yeah.
Yes. You want me to hop on a fucking animal?
Yes, yeah. I think he would have he wouldn't understand what to be afraid of because he's from Queens.
It's a fucking animal. Right. What's it going
to
do?
So he would feel like he had to dominate it to represent Godzilla. New York, A. And B, I just... He worked on the And-One tour. He's seen shit way worse and more... Technically devastating.
Let me tell you about this time. One time I was in Tijuana with Hot Sauce, and it was this crazy thing. There was some oxy, and the Federales had to come in. And I had to bail everybody out. You know, that was crazy. It was almost as crazy as the time I took Ben Gordon in Istanbul. Oh yeah, it was fucking nuts. I had to keep him out of jail.
Yeah, I had to pull half man, half amazing out of a garbage compactor.
I was hanging out at the University of Kentucky. There's a stripper who she goes by the Bull. She wasn't that tough.
So Adam, I think by the way, those dudes from Queens.
Of a fucking Bull.
Every now and then, those dudes from Queens make way better cowboys and rednecks.
Right.
Like I've taken this dude from like Staten Island hunting before, right? Like bow hunting, which I suck at. I'm a terrible bow hunter, and this dude was like natural born killer. Like probably based off of years of playing like paper football, right? Like developing the hand eye coordination.
I'm not gonna put money on him, but I'm gonna go with Godfrey.
Oh man, he's way too floppy. He's like that thing.
He's like
the
a CB whip.
Godfrey is huge. So I just want to see
be fun to watch.
To the ground.
It just wouldn't work.
Not out of any animosity.
He'll be fine. Jason's the sadist and just wants to watch someone flop.
That's healthy.
We'll make a vine of it.
We'll call him FSU.
He'll represent the Florida State Seminoles
lost
in the
to
Rose
the Bull
Bowl.
By 39 points.
39 points. No, he'll do fine.
He was there for a bit.
He's lived in Tennessee for a long time. He'll do fine.
Go Titans. Oh, we're back on NFL. Shit.
We're going to get off NFL because we do want to actually discuss the title game. A modicum of discussion on the title game. I will admit, I have no idea based on common competition, overall depth chart experience, and how the playoff has gone thus far in the first round, how this game will turn out. It is so hard, and I think the X factor in all of this, by the way, the given factor, is that we know that Oregon's really good. We know what Oregon does. We know what their assets are, and we know how they're going to perform under a significant stretch of time because Mariota has been the starter for so long and because we've seen such consistent performance from them, as opposed to Ohio State, who has been consistent this year but under three different quarterbacks, both Braxton Miller, who got injured, who yielded to JT Barrett, who performed brilliantly, who was then injured and then yielded to Cardale Jones, who has been awesome thus far. So I'm not really sure how both teams match up. I just suspect this will not be a low-scoring game.
Yeah, anybody who has a super definitive take on how Cardale Jones is going to play in this game is a person who is just confident about their opinions. We have no idea. I mean, we've seen two games of evidence, and granted, they've been impressive games against really good defenses, but it's a giant X factor. You know, Oregon's good, Ohio State's good, but if we have, you know, any sort of assertive stance on Cardale Jones is going to handle this game in this way, well, you're probably wrong.
That said, the Florida State offense just got pretty well shut down by Oregon. And granted, they've been up and down, but they still have a ton of great playmakers. Jameis Winston, even though he hasn't played as well this year as he did last year, is still one of the best quarterbacks, and they made him look like a fool. And I feel like they can do that.
No, he looked foolish.
He
did look like a damn fool.
They should be able to do that.
To Cardale Jones.
What's last time you remember a quarterback in the national championship that people were not sure if he was good or not?
Well, sorry, Ty, but it was 2 short years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would
How'd
be 2 years
turn
ago.
It turned
out very, very badly. I feel like there are a few factors in this game that I know are going to happen. And one of them is weird that Oregon, for all of the like Death Star terminology we hang on them for the like wave of the future, that you can really bank on them running the ball with Tyner, all right? Whose ass and thighs are a national football treasure. Like, that's how a running back should look, right? Like, he is this gigantic, stocky battering ram of a quarterback. And that they're going to be able
to
run...
He's a fly girl.
He is a fly... he is going to be able to dance his way in feature through the middle of the defense.
Yep.
and that they're going to be able to gain yards in the ground, and that they're going to play pretty good defense. It feels weird, but you're able to look at Oregon and say, I can bank on some really traditional assets in terms of how they're going to perform. And superstitionally, there's two things I know that Ohio State are, that has to happen. Cardale Jones has to make mistakes. I think Oregon will be able to pressure him. And Cardale Jones, who has not made mistakes thus far, you can just say, yeah, he's probably going to make a few. And whether Ohio State's going to survive those is crucial to how this game turns out. Additionally, it's Urban Meyer. He's a former special teams coach. And every big game at Florida, and Ryan and I watched every single Florida game that Urban Meyer ever coached, there were fake punts and there were fake field goals. And so if Ohio State gets in trouble, watch for them to attempt to flip the script by faking a punt at one point. It's usually the fake punt. That's Urban's thing, is to size it up and call a fake punt, which he will call from anywhere on the field, which be glorious. It could just be total disaster.
Well, keep in mind, Oregon is the gimmick program here.
Yeah, that's with their fancy uniforms and their shotgun formations.
I love that. I love that. Oregon's a gimmick program. Running the option. Oklahoma in the 1960s.
Running zone. How exotic is it to run inside zone?
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's a game that there's going to be a lot of points. They're all going to be hard-earned. It's hard to imagine a blowout short of just, you know, Cardale short-circuiting, which I don't really expect that. I think he'll play a decent game.
The one way in which Cardale may be a red herring in this altogether is that Ohio State just loves to run the ball, and they'll do it with him as well.
And Ezekiel Elliott's been superb.
But they run the ball 45 times a game, so they are intentionally not going to put this game. Even in the Alabama game, when they went down, they didn't panic and say, we have to throw our way back into the game.
Nope.
They said, if there's enough time, let's just stick to the script and do what we do well. Let's not try to be something we're not. So I think it will actually be more about Ezekiel Elliott, who has looked phenomenal in his last two games. If he can get going and keep those long drives going, flip field position as much as possible in favor of Ohio State, that's where I think they have the best chance.
Yeah, Don Pelham, the defensive coordinator for Oregon, has all but hinted this week in pregame talks that yardage is a lie. The yardage in this game, whatever it is not going to have any real bearing in terms of at least narrow margins on how the game pans out. That this is going to be a matter of turnovers, and it's going to be a matter of turning sevens into threes, right? If you can just get Ohio State to kick field goals, Oregon will go out there and get sevens. That's their goal. And that's why I feel pretty confident about Oregon, because I just trust Mariota to do that, right? It's a healthy Mariota, and there's only been one team that's really had his number and, frankly, has had him in really bad situations and or injured situations when they lost to them. And the last time they played, Arizona and Oregon did not go the way that it had gone previously. So,
yeah, I mean, the idea that anybody has shut down Mariota, that's nobody has.
Not even with an injured leg, NFL scouts.
Not under any sort of actual fair circumstances or in any definitive way or any, you know, if they play 10 times, this team wins 7 times out of 10 way.
So what's the play then? If you're Ohio State, are you saying we're going to keep pressure, we're going to keep sending extra guys and try to get him? Because, you know, we've said it before, it's not like getting him out of the pocket makes him a less dangerous passer.
Yeah, but then there, you know, if you have him on the run, at least there's a chance that he's taking hits.
Right, and you're cutting off parts of the field, yeah. You know, I guess that's the way to go.
If nothing else, you're creating at least some sort of a chance for a mistake.
Right.
You know, if you let him sit back, you're cooked.
Yeah, yeah.
There's also the small matter that none of us have tickets. We have no credentials. We have no tickets to get into the game.
SB Nation.
Yes, we do have a credentialed person. I do want somebody listening to this to notice that we have
Stephen Godfrey, who brought neckties.
We always credential the tallest person eligible for an event.
Three neckties to the state of Texas.
Yes, so he did bring
neckties.
None
of them were bolo ties.
Yeah, but none of us are credentialed, so at least one of us will be trying to get into the game.
When Sean Bradley gets a job with us, Godfrey is out credential-wise.
Godfrey is out. When Olden Polynice, when we hire Olden Polynice.
That's not you, Roger.
Yeah, because Roger already owns, we already have an employee who owns Olden Polynice's warm-ups. And bought them because he's not sane.
You know, John Concat can write.
Yeah, John. Go we're going to get Kyle. We'll get Kyle Korver's trash ass off the court.
Listen, there's bitter Grizzlies fan. Just mad about
bitter
the number
Grizzlies
one team
fan
in the
about
Eastern
a regular
Conference.
Season.
The big bad Western Conference. Listen to the Eastern Conference. It'll be okay. It'll be okay.
But yeah, we don't have tickets.
Yeah, we don't have tickets. So I'm trying to set a price to get into the game. I think I'm going to be able to get into the game for $150.
Can I ask, yeah, are you using the full cast as a means of seeing if you can get these tickets?
Is I think this, if anyone's listened
this
far,
is this a subtle advertisement?
Then maybe they want Spencer to go with them.
This is not a subtle advertisement. If you will sell me a ticket for $150 so I can go into Jerry Jones' gigantic masturbatory testicle, inside of which he lets young men contest the game of football for his pleasure, please hit me up at Spencer@SBNation.com.
I mean, most testicles are masturbatory. I don't think that's a...
Jerry's are super masturbatory.
Here in the state of Texas.
You're in Arlington, Texas, son.
Here in the state of Texas, testicles masturbate themselves.
I'm going to put my nuts right on the Walmart.
As the Bible commands.
As the Lord decrees.